Well, hey, everybody. Good morning. Isn't it great to be here? It's good to be here. It's always good to be at the picnic, but I always like getting back home, too, I have to admit. Well, we're going to get started this morning by introducing you to a special guy. This is Wilson. Wilson is a chocolate lab. Let me tell you about Wilson. He's a good boy. Oh, yes, he is. He's a great dog, and I don't know how much you know about labs and dogs. Chocolate labs are great dogs. They do tend to be a little bit on the high-strung side. If you ever had one, have you ever been around one? Which is why, when Wilson was down in the dumps, his master was concerned. Because Wilson was a doggy downer. And he was sad, and he wasn't playful like he normally is. And he just wasn't his old self, so the owner tried to perk him up. Nothing worked, so he took him to the vet. And the vet examined him, and he said, something's not right here. And he looked inside, he found not one, not two, not three, but found seven golf balls inside Wilson. Right there they are. See him right there? Seven golf balls. Wilson had a taste for Titleist. Apparently they live right next to a golf course, and if one came in the yard, Wilson thought, well, that must be for me. And he just gobbled it up. And, you know, it's not just Wilson who likes to eat stuff that's not good for him. Dogs do this all the time. For example, as I was looking at these, reading these articles, here's an x-ray of a dog that swallowed a light bulb. See it in there? A Christmas tree bulb. Whole thing. Swallowed it. And then here's one of a dog that swallowed a rubber ducky. Look at that thing. This one, though, was my favorite. Here's that x-ray of a dog that swallowed a toy dog. Look at it. Isn't that great? Which just goes to prove what we already know, that this is a dog-eat-dog world, isn't it? Wow, listen to that fake laughter right there. That was good. Well, I couldn't wait all week to tell you that, by the way. I thought that was hilarious. Well, you know, if we could talk to dogs, we might sit them down and have a conversation, and we might say, Wilson, dog world, how come you're eating all this stuff that's bad for you? Don't you know that's going to hurt you? It's bad to put that inside of you. And if we could have that conversation with them, before they answer, they might say, look who's talking. Look at all the stuff you put inside of you. Not rubber duckies and light bulbs and golf balls and stuff. But what about the stuff that you consume, human beings, with your mind? Think about it. We let a lot of unhealthy stuff get inside there, don't we? Not objects, but thoughts. And that's why we're doing this series called Making the Most of Your Mind. And if you were here a couple of weeks ago when we started down this, we started off with this premise, just by way of quick review. We said, hey, listen, don't believe everything you think. You know, believe a lot of what you think. Believe with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But test your thoughts and don't believe everything you think, because not everything that we think is necessarily true. The Bible says this in Proverbs 4. Be careful. Be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. Isn't that a wise saying? Well, another way of putting that might be this. Your actions will follow your most dominant thought. And some of us have been talking about that a lot this week. Whatever you think about the most, whether it's work, family, a good thing, your kids, spouse, whatever, your actions will follow that. But if it's not a good thing, if it's a hurtful thing, your behavior can follow you along those lines. And so you need to be careful about what you're thinking about. And that's why the title of today's message is, You Are What You Think. Now, we've all heard the expression, you are what you eat. And there's some truth to that when it comes to the food that you eat. But there's a lot more truth to the notion that you are what you think. What you allow in your mind will determine your stress, your success, and your stability in life. And so here's what we're going to do today. We're going to back this up a little bit. If you remember a couple weeks ago, we looked at the verse that said, take every thought captive and submit it to the authority of Christ. Well, what if we got more careful about what we have to take captive? What if we were more cautious about what we let in? So we're going to look a lot of what the Bible has to say about what we're letting into our minds, how it affects our behavior, and how we can do better in that department so that we can be better servants of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, the truth is we consume a lot of stuff that's not bad for us, and sometimes we don't even know we're doing it. And sometimes, God, the enemy or media or ourselves, we're just letting thoughts come in our head that are just really messing us up. And as we said last time, our thoughts become depraved, corrupted, warped. God, we want to love you with all of our mind, Not just our heart, soul, and strength, but we want to love you with all of our mind. And so use the message this morning, Father, to help us take another step in loving you mentally and taking care of this incredible gift you gave us called a brain so that we can glorify you and lift Jesus up in front of our neighbors. We pray this in Jesus' name, and everybody says, amen. Well, just like you should watch what you eat, you should watch what you think. That's our first point here this morning. It's not just that we should be careful that you are what you think. You should watch what you think. This is what the wise man says in Proverbs 15. Hang on, because he's going to tell it straight here. The wise man says in Proverbs 15:14, a wise person is hungry for truth, but the fool feeds on trash. Oh, that's kind of blunt, isn't it? Ouch, that steps on the toes a little bit. But you know, that's the kind of a verse that you might want to put on a post-it note and put it on your computer or your TV or something like that. Because the truth is, a lot of us are going through life kind of feeding on stuff that really isn't terribly good for us. And so it makes us ask this question, mentally, what are you hungry for? And what are you feeding on? And that's kind of the question that we want to wrestle with here a little bit this morning. Now, if you go to a nutritionist, any nutritionist will tell you that there are basically three categories of food. We learned this back in elementary school. There's good, healthy food, like fruits and vegetables and whole grains and lean meat and stuff like that. I've heard of it. I'll take you, if it's really out there, I'll take your word for it. I never tried the stuff, but I heard it's out there. And then there's the one that's close to my heart. There's junk food, which is like Skittles and chips and chocolate chip cookies and shakes and everything on the McDonald's menu. I know they have yogurt and stuff like that. But junk food, that's the stuff that's not really going to hurt you, but it's not really great for you. It's sort of like empty calories and those kinds of things. If you eat too much of it, it's not good for you, but it's not going to hurt you. But then there's toxic food or poisonous food. And if you eat that stuff, I mean like toadstools or hemlock or something like that, it'll kill you. Well, just like there are different categories of food that affect our belly and our body, there are also categories of food that affect our brain. You could make the same comparison to your mind, soul, and spirit. There's healthy food that you can put inside your brain that'll make you more confident and stronger and better and a better servant of God. For example, of course, at the top of the list is Scripture. The more you read the Bible, the happier and the better your life will be. Period, end of quote. But not just Scripture. There's also things like music and other forms of literature. One of the reasons that for the past year and a half, I believe that God led us to reach out for a worship minister and led us to connect with Lee and Carrie Scott is because of the power of music to be healthy food inside your brain. Scripture and God's melody of life just going with you wherever you go. Sometimes that'll stick with you a lot longer than just a Bible verse will. So that's good, healthy, spiritual food. But then there's mental junk food, too. And this is the stuff that consists of most of what's on TV, radio, movies. I mean, maybe even to a certain extent, you can kind of put sports in there a little bit. This is like mental Skittles. It's stuff that just sort of fills you up and can ruin your appetite for the good stuff. Think of it this way. What if it's Thanksgiving dinner, and right before you sit down to grandma's table, you eat a dozen donuts? Well, you no longer have room for the good stuff, right? Now, that is an example of what we're talking about. So we want to think about what kind of mental junk food are we consuming that may be nudging God out of the way. And then finally, there's toxic or poisonous mental thought food. Thoughts that we let in our brain it's not that they just aren't good for us, it's that they kill us. They spiritually render us dead. Certain thoughts, certain ideas can kill you spiritually. Let me give you a couple of examples here. For one, maybe comedy that mocks God, and there's a ton of it out there. I used to watch The Daily Show all the time with Jon Stewart. I thought it was kind of cute sometimes, but I had to give it up. The language was coarse, but I just felt like every night he was just making fun of us as Christians and of God, so I had to kind of let that go. Another example might be of a form of toxic food, like anything that's obscene, not just sexually, but violently too. Let me give you one more that the Bible talks about, and that's sort of demonic or occult literature or entertainment. That is poisonous and deadly to your spirit. Deuteronomy 18 says this. God said this to Moses. He said, hey, listen, don't let your people practice fortune telling or use sorcery, or interpret omens, or engage in witchcraft, or cast spells, or function as mediums or psychics, or call forth the spirits of the dead. He goes on to say, that's it, sort of in the same category as human sacrifice. Why is God giving Moses and the children of Israel that command, and why does it apply to us today? Because anytime we begin to depend on mediums and psychics and astrology and stuff like that to control our future, that's witchcraft. That's toxic to your soul. Instead of depending on God to be in control of your life, you're depending on tarot cards or Ouija boards or something like that. That's this kind of stuff that will kill you. And at this point, let me tell you something else. Unlike toxic food that you can go get your stomach pumped and cleanse it out of your system, a toxic thought, once it's in there to stay. You can't unring that bell. You can ignore it. Maybe God can purge it out, but it's hard to get rid of. So, some of us may be sitting there right now thinking, man, am I eating a lot of mental junk food, or am I even eating and consuming toxic thoughts? Well, let me just give you a quick test. If you want to check in with yourself on this a little bit, ask yourself this question: how do I feel about worship and Bible study? Now, all of us are here this morning. You're here because you want to be here, presumably. You're not getting paid to be anybody. You're not getting paid to be here. You're here because you want to be here. But what was your attitude coming in to worship or Bible study this morning? Was it like, oh, I guess I got to go do this? Or was it like, man, I, like so many other people, we pull in, I didn't plan to do this, but I can't help but do it. When I pull in the morning, I usually bring the guys from the mission over in two van loads. And when we pull in, we usually see Eleanor's car sitting out front. And you know what the guys do when they see Eleanor's car? They let out a cheer. Yay, Eleanor's here! Isn't that awesome? That's what I do when I see your car, too. Eleanor loves to be here. So many of you love to be here. That's evidence that you're consuming good. But if it's a hassle or a burden to you, you've got to ask yourself the question, what toxic mental food, what mental junk food am I consuming? Because it's getting in the way of you loving God with all of your mind. David wrote this in Psalm 101. He said, I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. How many hours a week do you spend consuming worthless stuff and putting worthless images and thoughts in front of your eyes? A lot? Yeah, me too. Me too. Now, it's at this point I got to stop. I mean, I just got to stop right now, because I got to tell you, I have to confess to you that this is really difficult for me. I'm talking to you this morning about one of the weakest areas of my life. I'll just be the first to admit it. I knew as we were doing this series on the mind that we would arrive at this point when we were talking about what kind of stuff we put inside of our heads. But I got to tell you, I love to watch movies. I love to watch TV shows. And I love sometimes a lot of this action stuff that I like to watch, and I joke about it and stuff. Sometimes it really makes me stop and think, is this okay? So I'm not standing up here as a guy who has this all figured out this morning. I almost, to be honest with you, I really had to wrestle with whether I could even do this lesson without feeling like a total hypocrite. But the truth is, over the next 5-10 years, I want to put less worthless stuff in front of my eyes. It's not about spiritual perfection, it's about spiritual progress. And with God's help, I'm doing something. And I think you do the same thing. I know you well enough to know that over time, you're just going to tell yourself, hey, listen, I'm not going to lie to myself. Remember that from 2 weeks ago? I'm not going to lie to myself and say that this can't hurt me or doesn't hurt me. I'm going to be honest with myself and admit that when I permit this trash into my head, it hurts me and often hurts the people around me. If we look at our Facebook pages, the movies that we watch, are we really comfortable and at peace with that? Only you can answer that for yourself. But I'll tell you what, this is a hard one for me. Peter said this in 2 Peter. He said, dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. You know what? I think Peter had a problem with this stuff too. Because if you read how he was when he walked around with Jesus, I mean, there wasn't much filtration between his head and his tongue, was there? It was just blah. It was just out there. And so I think Peter had a struggle with wholesome thoughts. But the longer he went on, the better he got at it. And that should be our goal too. So here's the question. How do you guard your mind? Because that's what we want to know. Let's just admit that all of us do it, that all of us let some of this stuff in that doesn't really belong there. We all swallow spiritual golf balls like Wilson. and then we feel awful. What can we do to take a step in the right direction? And that's kind of our second point this morning of 2 points. How do you guard your mind against garbage? That's what we really want to know. Well, there's two answers I'm going to give you this morning. One is conversational prayer, and the other one is concentrated focus. And both points are addressed in that great passage from Philippians 4 that Dave read a little earlier and that I want to read to you again. We're in Philippians 4, verses 6 through 8. The Apostle Paul wrote this. He said, "Don't worry about anything." Man, I think that's one of the hardest commands in the Bible. Whew. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he has done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. That's that peace that passes understanding we're always hearing about. His peace will guard, I have that circled in my Bible, guard. His peace will guard your hearts as you live in Christ Jesus. Verse 8 in the second part. So, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. All right, so there's two pieces in there. The first one is conversational prayer, and the second part is fixing your thoughts. Let's talk about conversational prayer. Paul says, pray about everything. Now, as soon as we say this, many of us are like, yeah, I'm right there with you, man, and you're even doing it now. You've been doing it since you woke up. For others of us, though, this may be a brand new thought. We're not talking about you walking through life with your eyes closed. We're not talking to you about you closing every sentence by saying amen. We're just talking about you and God having an ongoing running conversation that never stops. You're driving your car. You're talking to God. You're at the stoplight. You're talking to God. You're pumping gas. You're talking to God. You're in the grocery store. This is one of my favorite ones. You're in the grocery store and you're talking to God. And if you're like me, you go down your favorite aisle. And your favorite aisle is what? The potato chip aisle. Is this a great country where you can go to a place that has miles of potato chips? So you're walking down the potato chip aisle and you look up and there right in front of you are Diefenbach's jalapeno flavored potato chips. The age of miracles is not dead. They are awesome. Have you tried them? They're very good. So I'm having this conversational prayer with God and so I do not reach. I lunge for the Diefenbach's. Boom. But as I'm doing it, the conversational prayer is going on and I say, God, is it okay to have Diefenbach's jalapeno-flavored potato chips? And I kind of sense this voice, not an audible voice, not a vision or anything, but I kind of sense this voice that says, hey, Bill, have a couple of chips, but don't eat the whole bag. And that's just how it works. It's just an ongoing conversation. The little fellow's doing his Razor scooter through it, and he comes right out in front of your car, and you slam on the brakes. You pray for the kid. You pray for his parents. You hear a siren. You pray for the emergency workers. You pray for who it is that they're going to talk to. Just you and God. You see a tree changing color and you think, God, thank you for letting me live in Pennsylvania in the fall. You know, that's all we're talking about here, guys. It's just this ongoing conversation. This is what the Bible talks about in 1 Thessalonians 5 when Paul says, never stop praying. Romans 12, pray at all times. Colossians 4, I like this one. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert what? An alert mind. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about keeping trash out of our heads and a thankful heart. You know, there was this guy, and he was a soldier. And he was a very good soldier, but the day came when he didn't want to be a soldier anymore. And he decided to be a monk. And he went to a monastery to live. His name was Brother Lawrence. And he wrote this book called Practicing the Presence of God. Now, Brother Lawrence gave up his home, his family, his career, and everything so that he could go, and it's still one of the most best-selling books, thousands of copies sold every year. It's hundreds of years old. He gave it all up so he could go into this monastery and work. And because he didn't have any of the training or education that the other kind of clerical guys did, the other monks, he was in charge of washing pots and pans in the kitchen. And for the next 35, 40 years of his life, all day, every day, by himself, in total silence, he washed pots and pans, and talk to God. And this is what he wrote in his book. He said, there is not in the world a kind of life more sweet and delightful than that of a continual conversation with God. Only those who practice it can comprehend it. There are probably two groups of people in the room here right now this morning. People who are doing this and understand it and enjoy it and live on it. And you've been praying even as this message started. And then there are those of us who may be a little bit skeptical. And here's all out. And if you're this is part of who you are, your heart is smiling right now, and you're talking to God even at this very moment. And if you're not so sure, all I would say is just give it a shot, man. Because like Brother Lawrence says, the only way you can really buy in is if you try it. And you got to start somewhere, and you don't have to wash pots and pans all day all by yourself either. You can still go to the grocery store and drive your car. Give it a try, and you won't be disappointed. It's sort of like a green eggs and ham thing, okay? And I guess I'm Sam I Am this morning, and I'm asking you to try this, but you won't be disappointed. It will keep the trash out of your head. That's the first part. Here's the second part. That's concentrated focus. Paul says, fix your thoughts on what's true and honorable and noble and right and admirable and lovely. One more time to Proverbs. Proverbs 23:19, the wise man says, listen, my child, and be wise. Keep your mind on what is right. Well, this is what you try to do and what I try to do too. We try to stay focused on the good stuff, but you know what happens? Is we try to, once in a while we get bored, and then we try to be cute, we try to be funny, we try to impress somebody, try to get that girl to look at us and check us out. We get bored, we get tired, and then we start thinking about stuff that just isn't very good for us. Well, let me tell you something. The way to get a bad idea out of your head isn't to fight against it. If you're struggling with thoughts about overeating or lust or greed or something like that, or that person who hurt you in the past, the key is not to think about not thinking about it, because guess what you're doing? You're focusing on the thing you don't want to focus on. The key is to change the channel in your mind and to let God change the channel. Think of it this way. It's almost the end of baseball season. If a pitcher is out on the mound and he's having a bad inning and he's way behind and the pitching coach calls timeout and comes out to talk to the guy. And the pitching coach is, or the pitcher's just getting slammed. And it's because of his curveball. His curveball just isn't good, but he keeps throwing the curve. The last thing the coach is going to say is, what's wrong with you? Why are you throwing the curveball? Your curveball stinks. Cut it out. That's not what he's going to say. What's he going to say? He's going to say, dude, you got a great fastball. You blaze it in. Give him the heater. Now, what's the pitcher thinking about? He's thinking about what he should be doing, not what he shouldn't be doing. The same thing works for you and for me. You focus on what you want to do, not on what you don't want to do. And that's how you change the channel in your head. So we're talking about continual conversational prayer and concentrated focus. Let me get practical with you here just for a minute. Very, very practical. You know what I'm going to do this afternoon, Lord willing? I'm going to watch me some football. I'm telling you, it's coming, man. Lord, I say Lord willing, because you never know. But I plan on watching some football. And this week I'm going to watch some TV. And I'm going to watch some movies. And when I do, I mean, we could go Amish, and we use the Amish as like a punchline and jokes and stuff like that. Let me tell you, I admire those people. They have made a decision and taken a step that I haven't taken yet. And they've done it in good faith. But I don't think it's a sin to watch football. I don't think it's a sin to watch TV and movies. I think what we need to do, though, as we do it, is to guard our mind against garbage. That's all we're talking about here. So as I watch my football game this afternoon, I'm going to be praying and talking to God. If there's a player injured on the field, I'm going to pray for him. As I see fans, I'm going to pray for people in the stands. Yes, I'm going to cheer for my team. But I can do both at the same time. And if there's a beer commercial that comes on, I'm going fast forward, man. Or I'm going to change the channel. Or I'm going to get up and walk out. Why? Because I don't drink beer. Why would I watch somebody try to sell me beer if I don't want to drink beer? I'm just going to disengage, and I'm going to refocus my mind. I'm going to do what the Hebrew writer said. We should remove from our lives anything that would get in the way and the sin that so easily holds us back. Let us look only to Jesus, the one who began our faith, and who makes it perfect. Let me tell you something. It's not the church's job to micromanage your life, okay? I don't want to know what movies you have in your queue on Netflix. I don't want to come to your house and check your browser history on your computer. It's not our job. It's not our role as shepherds. It's not our role as brothers and sisters. It's not the church's job to do that. But it is our role to ask each other thoughtful questions like, What are you putting inside your mind? That's all we're doing this morning. Remember last week we said God doesn't give us a list of rules anymore? What he does is he gives us choices. And just ask yourself, what are you putting inside your mind? Now, I wouldn't blame you because I heard about a million sermons just like this when I was a little kid. And I wouldn't blame you if some of you, my daughter's upstairs in the nursery this morning where I can tell you what she would be thinking right now. She would say, well, looky there. Grandpa Preacher showed up today. And I know what we're talking about is kind of old-fashioned. But you have to decide what's the quality of stuff that's going into your head. And I will tell you this. Do not fool yourself. Do not lie to yourself and think that you can listen to music or watch images or watch movies and that it won't affect you and the people that you love. And if it's a part of who you are publicly, on Twitter, on Facebook, on your webpage or whatever, and you're putting that out there, that's a message that says something about who you are as a follower of Jesus. We don't say this to control you. We say this because we care about you, because God cares about you. He wants you to guard your mind against garbage. Conversational prayer. You can start today. You can start right now. And concentrated focus on Jesus. Why? Because, last verse, 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound what? A sound mind. He wants you to love you, love him with all your mind. So it's important to remember that you are what you think, and if you keep that in mind, then you're making the most of your mind. Father, I bet you every one of us felt our toes stepped on a little bit by your word this morning. Because every one of us can remember when we were watching a show and we felt kind of crummy and dirty as we were doing it. Or looking at a magazine or a website or whatever. And we knew we shouldn't have been there, but there we were. We let that stuff into our heads and we lied to ourselves and said it was no big deal and everybody does it. Well, Father, each of us in our own way repents of that right now. And each of us commits to the best of our ability and with the guidance of your Holy Spirit to watching what we think and being more careful about that. Father, we submit to your correction. And if the evil one gets involved with mischief, please back him away. But you've given us free will, so help us to be wise in our decisions. Help us to glorify you, not just in where we go, what we do, and what we say, but in what we think and what we allow in our minds. And we really need your help with that, God, because we can't do it on our own. We ask it in Jesus' name, and everybody says, amen. Well, I thought this was pretty cool. You know Wilson, how we started off? When his master found out that Wilson had been eating golf balls, he didn't get rid of him. He got him healing. I mean, that's what you would do, right? If your dog ate golf balls, would you say, get out of here? No, you would take him to the vet and help him get better. Well, God does the same thing for us. He takes us to the foot of the cross, and that's where healing is available. And so if you feel bad or feel a little twinge or convicted in your spirit this morning because you've been watching stuff or thinking about stuff that you know is like kind of weird and strange and icky, there's healing available for you. God can extract that from you and he can remove this sin. That's what Jesus came to earth to do. So here's what's going to happen. We're going to sing a song. Now, if you've never been baptized before, you can be baptized today if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Have your sins washed away. Or if you just want prayers for any reason, please let us know. Just come forward while we stand and sing.